I hit such a bad shot on the par three. She lasered it. She went, it's like 52 yards. I was like, okay, cool, thanks, babe. And she's like, is this a par four? I was like, no. She's like, wow, that was a really bad shot. I was like, thank you.
I mean, is it psycho or is it just great planning?
I'm like, why are we out here? Because they love the game.
No.
I do not want to hit a little white golf ball around.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Henny and Hallie, Women with Game. I'm going to keep this intro really short because it has been a very emotive last week or so for women worldwide, people worldwide, in fact, because this issue affects more than just women, with the recent rulings out of the US with regards to Roe versus Wade. So I guess trigger warning, this is a intense episode, but one that Hallie and I are really proud of, and we are really proud of our guests that we have this week. Mel Reed is always such a fascinating individual and role model to chat to, and we hope that you all get as much out of this episode as Hallie and I did.
Mel Reed, welcome to Henny and Hallie, Women with Game. You are certainly one with game on and off the course. Thank you so much for joining us.
No, I appreciate it. Thanks for inviting me on. This is cool.
Of course. Well, you know, but between the time that we asked you to come on the podcast and now I'm recording it, some crazy events have happened in the U.S. Roe versus Wade was overturned, and you and a few of your fellow touring professionals put out a really moving statement, which you guys can all see on Mel's social media, as well as Michelle Wiese and Gemma Driver, as a bunch of really well-known LPGA players. Mel, just curious, what went into that statement and how did you guys sort of come together and decide to put something out?
I'm probably going to get in trouble for saying this, but I didn't necessarily, I thought the LPGA statement was quite neutral. And so me and Marina, we talk quite a lot. I know that you're really good friends with her as well. Like she's awesome. She's very outspoken, which is what I love about her. And she was like, you know, I think we're going to do a statement together. Would you be cool to get on a call and have a chat about it? And I was like, absolutely. Like once I finished playing on Sunday, and it was kind of her and I think Michelle that really drove it. I kind of got my points across, what I felt about it. And so, yeah, I mean, listen, credit to them. They kind of put it together, and I was like, that's exactly how I would have put it. I'm not the most literal person. And so they're way more intelligent in that aspect of things. And they knew exactly what to say. And yeah, I mean, I think it's important. And honestly, like it actually made me a bit emotional how many of the LPGA girls kind of got together and did that. I thought it was a really powerful, not just statement, but powerful as a collective of, you know, as women in sport, that it does affect you know, every single woman. This does affect every single woman. And it's, I think that to use our platform the way that we did, it was just something that I was incredibly proud of.
Obviously the news came out while you were at the KPMG Women's PGA Championship, which is just outside of Washington. What was the feeling or sentiment among the players that week in general, and then in response to the LPGA initial lack of statement and then statement?
Yeah, I mean, actually, I was sat with Brittany Linscombe, you know, who's, I think she's 7.5 months pregnant and still kicking my ass. So that was kind of the topic of the conversation. Then obviously we heard about the Roe versus Wade. And so, you know, we just were like, what are we doing? Are we going back to like the Handmaid's Tales kind of thing? Like, this is kind of crazy that I was shocked because, listen, I love America. I really do. You know, I've married an amazing American woman, and I do call this place my home. And so for something like that to be overturned after so many years, it kind of scared me a little bit. I was just, you know, my manager Cassette, she's very outspoken about women's rights, and, you know, she got really emotional about it. But yeah, I mean, a lot of the players were talking about it, I'm not going to lie, because, you know, it's going to affect, in some way, you're going to have a connection where it's going to affect you, right? So I had one player, I won't obviously tell you who it is, who actually said, oh, it won't even affect you. And I was like, that's really not the point. You know, if me and Carly want to have a family, like it will affect us, and it may affect us in some way, should I say. And also, it's not even that, it's about speaking up for all women, right? That don't have a voice or feel like they don't have a voice. And I think it's very important for women, especially in our industry, to kind of get together and rally behind this, especially with the statement that was put out. I was just a little bit disappointed in the statement that was put out by the LPGA, if I'm completely honest, and I may get in trouble for that, but I'll take it. I just thought it was very, very neutral and a bit of a scared message. So, which is even more important why we had to put out a statement as players.
Yeah, I mean, I'll take it one step further because I
okay, thank you.
Can I was furious. I was I felt physically sick because the biggest sports organization for women in the US, possibly worldwide, I need to do some research on that, but certainly within the US, felt the need to put, well, firstly, didn't put out a statement, which made me just seething, and then put out a neutral statement that just meant absolutely nothing and was just full of ridiculous words. And it's like, you represent all of these female athletes. I'm curious, was it, I guess, was that representative of the players?
No.
Was there a feeling of, oh, it's split down the middle, and actually a lot of us are feeling pro that?
Honestly, like, I don't know if it's split or not. I would say I'm relatively friendly with most of the girls out there, and 99.9% were very much, you know, disappointed in the result with the Roe versus Wade, obviously, because like I said, it's going to affect you in some way. You're going to know somebody that it's going to affect, whether it's yourself or somebody else. So yeah, I mean, listen, as a women's sports organization, I do feel like the LPGA could have done more. I would have loved them to have done more. I was expecting more, and I felt exactly the same as you. I was a little bit, it was just a bunch of words to me. It wasn't even a statement. It was just a bunch of words just to tick the box, which infuriates me more than anything. So yeah, I mean, if you're going to put out a statement, put out a statement. I felt like a lot of other women's sports organizations put out an incredible statement. You know, like the WNBA, for example, you know, the women's soccer, they put out a great statement. Like, I just feel like, yeah, we certainly as a women's sports organization, and, you know, as long as we've been, you know, around, and you know, look, we go back to like the 13 founders. That's what we've kind of been told ever since we've become a pro on the LPGA, or become a rookie on the LPGA, is to act like a founder. Like, that to me wasn't acting like a founder. That wasn't fighting for something that you believe in or something that will affect, you know, the women that are in your work environment. And so, I was disappointed. I felt exactly the same as you. I was very disappointed in the statement, to be honest.
You know, I tried to think for a long time, you know, for the last few days, well, what went into, you know, first of all, the non-statement, the no statement, and then the sort of statement that wasn't a statement. And I was like, well, maybe it's an issue with like sponsors that are fairly conservative, or maybe it's an issue because, you know, there are maybe a lot of tour players that are pro-life. But I think it just goes back to, you can be pro-life, like, but that is on you. Like, if you don't believe in abortion, that is for you to decide, and that's what this whole thing is about. It's your right to choose, and if you don't believe in abortion, you don't have to have one. But there are certain things, like, you know, if you have an ectopic pregnancy, there are certain situations where, you know, an abortion is necessary to save the mother's life, and so to not give a woman that choice, first of all, it's none of your business why anybody would want to get an abortion. Second of all, it might be a serious health issue. And so I think that's what it comes down to. Cause I was trying to think, I was like, well, maybe it's, you know, it's because there are maybe some LPGA players are pleased with the outcome. But again, it's about the right to choose and what's good for, you know, for the individual woman themselves. So yeah, I agree. I was also would agree with you guys, pretty disappointed with that, but it'd be interesting to talk to somebody in like the, you know, the commissioner or someone in like a leadership position at the LPGA and be like, what went into this? Because clearly a lot of the LPGA players, like you, Mel and Marina and a lot of the girls felt that, you know, did not feel, you know, in line with what the LPGA put out.
One more point, that if there are young girls, women listening to this, I just feel so strongly that I've seen a lot on Twitter. Oh, what if you need to have one for health reasons? What if rape? What if incest? No, what if you're married or you're with your long-term partner or you're whatever, and you just don't want a child right now? Like, that's okay. I just want to let women and young girls know that there is, you don't need an excuse as to why or why not you might want to have a child in that moment. And it's not irresponsible. I think that's the other argument I've seen that really angers me, is, oh, it's irresponsible. No, it's not. I'm sorry. Things happen. We're all human. Everybody makes mistakes. And if that has happened and you feel like, yeah, okay, right now, because obviously, I'm in England where it's not a contentious issue, really. I mean, I'm sure it is for certain people, but for the law, it's not right now. And I think there are a lot of people around the world looking in on this issue who maybe never had any of these thoughts or feelings of shame or lack of responsibility or purely for medical reasons. And now this is making them think, oh, hang on, should I feel this certain way about it? And I just want to, so clearly, even if it's just one person that is listening to this, that it's absolutely your choice for whatever the hell reason you want to have an abortion, if that is your choice, and it's okay.
Right. And I'll just add on that. And I completely agree with both of you and Hallie just mentioned there, like, it's not, it should be a choice, right? And there will be certain situations, like, you know, I know people who are very, very religious that are very pro-life. And I'm like, I have no issue with that either. That doesn't, you know, that's your choice, but there's now no choice, right? And I've had some of my best friends growing up that have had abortions, and it's really affected them. Like, they've already felt extremely guilt, even to this day. I mean, it happened 10 years ago. You know, even to this day, they've felt a huge amount of guilt about it. And that's my issue as well, is it just wasn't one, you know, it might have been medical. You know, I won't get into detail about it, or it just wasn't the right time. And it affected, you know, her and her partner, who was a guy, you know, like, it still affects the men as well. Like, you know, he struggled with it for a while as well. And so, yeah, I mean, it's just, to not have the choice, I think, is just a huge step backwards. And I'm actually shocked that I can't even believe that it's happening in 2022, to be completely honest with you. It's just, it's literally mind boggling to me. So yeah, I mean, I just want to reiterate as well, like, to any girl, like, the, you know, you should never ever feel guilty, or, you know, it is your body. And you know, there's loads of people in this world which are extremely about you know, having a choice, and, you know, you should never ever feel guilty about doing the right thing for yourself.
And Mal, I think, you know, you made a good point there as well, the abortion affecting your friend's partner, who was a guy, who I think a lot of people, it's like your friend that said, well, this doesn't affect you. Well, that's why that's so not true. Like, it affects everybody, and we all will have friends, siblings, et cetera, that this will, you know, this will affect, if not ourselves. So it's really important to speak out, and especially the men in our lives as well, that are, you know, that think that this is a women's issue. Mm-hmm. And we need advocates and allies in this moment. And speaking of advocates and allies, Mel, with Pride Month coming to an end, you are a member of the LGBTQ+ community, and you've been so courageous in sharing your story, which has been amazing to see. And I think that, you know, it's important for, you know, for us, for myself and Henny, for whoever who is maybe not a member of that community, to be allies, not just this month, but every month. And I'm curious, kind of, why is it so important for you, whether it's Roe versus Wade, whether it's LGBTQ+ issues, Black Lives Matter, any of these issues that you, you know, sort of stood up and put your foot down and said, you know, this is how I feel. Why is it so important for you to be outspoken?
I think that I always take it back to a lot of girls. I can kind of only speak for the girls on tour that I know, but, you know, they give a lot back to the game in so many different amazing ways, through charities and events and awareness. you know, mine was just, I just felt like I've been in a lot of situations, or I should say that I've been around a lot of situations where just love being who you are and loving who you love has really affected them in a negative way. And they've still to this day have felt very ashamed, very guilty. They've lost family members, you know, connections with family members because of it. And so I just wanted to be a voice, basically. That's all I wanted to be. I just wanted to use my platform for that reason. And, you know, I was at a point in my life where I was very comfortable with who I was. Everybody that I actually cared about their opinion knew about my sexuality. And so I was ready to take the opinions, I guess, and the backlash of it. And to be honest, I didn't really get that much. Like, it was actually really, it was just very powerful for me, because I just want to stand up for every single person who is in that community who feels like they don't have a place in this world. I was like, listen, I'm proud of who I am. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to love who I love, and I'm just going to be the best version of me. And that's ultimately all it is. And I think that, especially with golf, like, there's this big stigma around, you know, especially in my community and especially for the guys. I think it's certainly easier for the women, which I don't know if it is a good thing or a bad thing, but, you know, especially I think for men, you know, I'm speaking on behalf of them as well. Of course I am, because it's extremely difficult for them. You know, it's still a bit of a locker room, and, you know, it's a very male dominated world, is the golfing world still. And, you know, I just wanted to be a voice for them as well. And just be like, listen, it's okay. Like, it may be rough for a little bit, but I promise you, like, it will end up being okay. And that's basically why I speak up about important issues. Like, you know, even with the Black Lives Matter, you know, Roe versus Wade, like, it's important for me. And people are like, you know, I get backlash sometimes, like, stay in your lane, just play golf. Well, no, I have a freedom of speech, and, you know, I truly believe in these things. And if I'm able to use my platform for that, the small platform that I have, and have an influence on somebody, that's incredible. Like, I remember when I first, you know, did my story about coming out, I went to the golf club a couple of days later, and I just moved to Jupiter in Florida, which is pretty conservative at times. And I remember this man came up to me, he must have been in his mid 70s, and he's like, oh, can I have a chat? And I was like, oh, here we go. And he said, I read your story. And I was like, okay. I was like, I didn't quite know what he was going to say. And he says, my granddaughter is gay, and I've really struggled with it, but after hearing you, I kind of educated myself a little bit. And he says, I'm starting to understand, and I just want to say thank you. And that to me was like the most important, like, incredible thing that someone could have said to me, was just making a difference to them and educating them. And realize, like, it's all about education, right? And all these issues, it's all about educating yourself and then having your opinion. You know, don't just have an opinion because you have an opinion. Like, just educate yourself on it a little bit and then have your opinion. Yeah. So yeah, that was one of the more powerful messages or kind of things that I had happen to me when I came out. So, and it's just important. It's important to always fight for what you believe in. And like I said, I've always been very outspoken, and I will continue to do that.
I mean, representation is so important. It's so, so important. And Mel, you're doing such an incredible job, you know, standing up and speaking about what you believe in. It's interesting just talking about sharing your thoughts and opinions on issues that you're passionate about. You know, I think at least I only saw one PGA Tour player post anything about Roe versus Wade, and it was Max Homa, who, you know, we all know and love. And he just said, women deserve better. Like, that's all he said, which was plenty. But, like, good Lord, you would have thought that, like, the people, I mean, I don't know if he did this in advance knowing what was coming, the backlash, but he turned off the comments so people couldn't comment. But I sort of retweeted it, and I was like, you know, my favorite kind of players are the players that don't stick to sports. And people are like, Max Homa was my favorite player. And da, 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 da. And I'm like, oh my goodness. Like, it's tough. And you understand, I mean, you see that kind of backlash, and then you realize, man, I get why certain players don't speak up, because they're gonna get this especially from a largely conservative community that golf has. You're gonna get these people that just you know, just pound on the negativity and the hatred. So again, Mel, just so appreciative of you, you know, being able to, I guess, withstand that and sort of say that it's worth it, because I really do think representation matters, not only as, you know, a member of the LGBTQ plus community, but also just of someone that is like willing to do it, because that to say how they feel, because I feel like the more people that are willing to speak up, it's then it's more, makes it more, makes it easier for everyone else to do it. Like, as you saw with your statement that you guys put out, Roe versus Wade, that I feel like if there's power in numbers, and it makes it easier if you see, hey, Mel Reed posted this, so I feel comfortable posting this. So I just thank you for your efforts. I think it really does go a long way.
No, of course. And it's important. Again, we keep going back, like, it's important. And, you know, I wish the guys would have said a little bit more, because it will affect them, you know, like, especially if they have daughters, or they're going to have daughters, or, you know, even their sons, that, you know, they're going to be affected by it too, like the future generation. And, you know, they were very, I was just shocked by how, I guess, a little bit disappointed in a few of the guys, and that, you know, they're very openly talking about like live golf, and then something like this comes up and it's complete silence, right? And I'm like, this is so much more important than the money situation about live golf. Like, why are you guys not speaking? Like, just put something. But again, I understand the backlash. I do understand that. But I mean, to make change, like, you're just gonna have to accept that. And trust me, like, it's them making a comment, or us making a comment, is way more powerful than any backlash we're ever gonna get. Like, I think that's what you gotta take into consideration, is, you know, you gotta take what I'm doing is for the greater good, and I'm just gonna, or I believe it is. So, you know, if I'm gonna get backlash for it, it doesn't even compare to the impact that I'm gonna have, even if it's just on one person. That, to me, I could have a million awful comments. If I get one, like, that's really positive, and thank you so much for doing this, this has changed my life, that's enough for me. And that's kind of how I see it, because I've had backlash in the past. I had it really bad with when golf came back with the charity match with the TaylorMade at Seminole. I mean, that's probably the worst backlash I've ever had. Carly actually switched I took Twitter and Instagram off, because the comments were just horrendous. I actually have never been trolled like that before, ever. And it's difficult. Like, you can see why people, you know, who do have a huge platform, they do struggle to say what they need to say, because the backlash is incredible. But, you know, you look at all these, you know, top athletes, or, you know, people who do have a huge influence, and when they do speak up about things, it's even more powerful, because the backlash that they get is, you know, I've seen a very, very small amount of it, and it is tough, but it's important that you speak your mind and you speak for what you believe in, because that's where change happens.
Definitely. It's frustrating sometimes, I think, the golf community almost, with so many of these issues. I just wish it was more progressive. And then the laughable thing is, in a few weeks' time, someone will go, how do we grow the game? Mm-hmm. And you're like, ah! Like, and they go, shall we have another panel? Maybe a discussion. Meetings. It's the dress code. It's definitely the dress code. And it's like,
it's the hoodies, Henny. It's the hoodies.
Oh, and you're standing there
and you're thinking, like, how do I even begin this conversation with you? Because you're just not going to get it.
So, talking about dress code, I was actually down in South Florida a few weeks ago. And it's a golf course that I've been to many times. They've always looked after me. They're amazing. And one of the, like, one of the guys that greets you, he was an older gentleman, and he came up to me, he says, hey, Mel, what's up? I was like, hey, what's up? Like, just having a chat with him. And he said, has anyone ever spoke to you about your dress code? And I went, excuse me. And he went, your shorts are really short. He said, they should only be like 3 inches above your knee. And I went, oh, is that a dress code? Is that your dress code, or a dress code from the golf club? Because I haven't seen anything. And he's like, well, we like to keep traditions around here. And I was like, well, the awkward thing is, these are my long shorts. I said, I was going to wear my short shorts tomorrow. And I just, like, said to him, I couldn't help myself. And then I said, this is the issue with the game. I said, why do you have such an issue with my shorts? Like, if I was just a newcomer to the game, and I go to whatever a company and get my shorts, like, if you have good legs or you don't have good legs, whatever you want to wear, whether it be leggings or anything, and somebody then comes and comments on it, the first time you ever step into a golf club, I wouldn't want to play golf. And that's my issue. Like, people are just so into like the petty stuff. And I'm just like, guys, you know, like, what is your issue? Like, it frustrates me so much.
I think the overall thing is I don't understand why you care how anybody lives their life.
No, I know.
Whether they're straight or not, whether they're black or white, whether they marry someone else who's black or white or straight or not, whether they have an abortion or not, whether they wear hot pants, leather, or a fucking overall. Like, I don't care because it's not what I'm doing. Right. I do what I want to do. You do what you want to do. We're all happy. Why am I losing sleep over anything that, like, anyone else wants to do with their life? I truly, I think all of the issues come down to that. And I think there's so many times when I see people, like, going off on certain issues. Like, why the fuck do you care how other people are living their lives? Mm-hmm. You can't control the whole planet. You're not Dr. Evil.
I think it comes down to fear. I think people are just afraid of what they don't know.
100%.
But why do you have to know? Just put your blinkers on, go and live in your house.
Exactly.
You don't need to know what I'm doing.
It's very true. But people like to control and people like to live in their world that, you know, it is what they know.
It makes no sense. You're going to have, what's the population right now?
A couple billion. I don't know, trillion.
You're going to go control 7 billion people, are you? And how they live their day-to-day life and what they think and how they feel. Makes no fucking sense. If you logically break it down, it makes zero sense.
Yeah.
It frustrates the hell out. Like, on every single issue that we're talking about, it all comes down to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just,
it's about people feeling self-worth, right? Like, him saying that he felt of importance. And I was like, listen, dude, if that makes you feel bad, ripping on my shorts, then, you know, you do you. But I was just like, this is pathetic. And I actually made me feel uncomfortable. I was like the whole day trying to put my shorts down. I was like, you know, and I was just like, why have you made me feel like that? I mean, I've allowed him to make me feel like that at the same time. Like, usually I don't normally care about stuff like that. But I was just like, wow, he didn't upset me, but he just made me feel uncomfortable. And I was like, if I feel uncomfortable, like, imagine if you were, you know, a person of color trying the game for the first time and someone said that to you, like, you just be like, peace, I'm not, golf sucks. And that's the issue. You talk, you know, how are you meant to get new people into the game that we're all trying to, from some diverse communities and from all walks of life? Like, it's always a constant battle.
Well, I think you just, if you are from any other community other than straight, white and over 50, you just go, no, thanks. That's not for me because I don't fit in. Ultimately, we all just want to fit in and feel comfortable, don't we?
Right.
So if you're thinking, how am I going to spend my precious leisure time that I don't have much of and my precious income that I don't have much of? Am I going to spend it on a place that I feel uncomfortable and I have to fight in and actually nobody shares the same values as me? No. Right.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go to somewhere where I feel included and actually makes me feel good. And I go home and I feel positive about my time off.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes I have to be reminded, you know, because me having grown up in this golf bubble and, you know, knowing you guys, and I'm like, oh yeah, like, I have very progressive friends, like, golf, we're really making a move. And then I'll get in a situation where I'll meet someone from like the outside world, you know, like, they'll be like, Ledbetter, that's a weird last name. Like, they have zero clue. And it's great. But they're like, what do you do? I'm like, oh, I work in golf. And they're like, golf? And like the expression on their face. And I'm like, oh, I forget how the rest of the world still sees golf. And they're like, why? How'd you get into that? And I'm like, long story. But well, I think just how far we have to go until you talk to someone who like knows golf as golf.
Right.
I think that leads us sort of perfectly into our final question for you, Mel, is moving forwards, what would you love to see in terms of changes or the state of the game for golf in the future?
That's a really broad question.
On purpose.
Thank you.
take it anywhere you wish.
Yeah. Obviously, I would love it to be more accessible for everybody, first of all. I would love it to be a lot more inclusive. I do think that golf clubs should take a little bit more responsibility, you know, educating the staff and making, if you're going to a golf club, whether it's your first time or your thousandth time, you should feel welcome there. So I think that a lot of golf clubs could do a lot more in that sense and making it a lot more of a welcoming place. And make it just, I understand traditions and don't get me wrong, I do believe certain, like there are certain golf courses which, you know, tradition is what makes it special, but just make it more fun. Like, you know, I think that golf clubs now, like, you know, there's now like music on driving ranges and things like that. And I just think that things like that are progressive. You know, I think that clothing companies now are a lot more progressive. Like you can literally walk off a golf course and go straight to, I always say, like, I love the fact that I can just walk off a golf course, go straight to a bar to meet friends and people don't know that I play golf. That's, you know, I think that that's progressing in the clothing industry. And yeah, that's basically all I want. I just want it to be more inclusive and more accessible. And yeah, just none of this, you know, complaining about how short your shorts are or if your shirt's untucked. Like, just, you know, it's fine. There's really a lot bigger things to worry about than if your shirt's untucked.
If you could describe your ideal scene at a golf course 100 years down the line and two other generations of Minnie Mels and Carlies go bowling into the golf club and they come back and they're like, hey grandmas, like this is how it was today.
Grandmas.
Hey grandmas.
Wow. Wait, are Mel and Carly the grandmas?
Yeah, grandmas.
100 years from now. Wow. Yeah. What supplements are you taking?
I'll be doing yoga and living on a beach with six dogs at that point. So I'll be, I'll be
they're
thriving.
They're healthy women.
I'll be
they're
thriving.
Very healthy.
Carly will be sipping green juice through a straw. Yeah, we'll be thriving.
130 something.
Right, back in my day, I had to wear long shorts.
Okay, maybe my maths, we're a little bit out.
Honestly, that they just like love golf, like they go there and they're like, oh, me and my mates, like, I don't know, just have like a little bit more of a community in the golf world. Like, that's all it is. I just want them to like, I grew up very lucky. Like, I grew up at a golf course where there was like 90 juniors and we literally had a blast. Like, we would play 45 holes a day and the members would get annoyed at us because we were just constantly on the golf course. Like, I would love that again. Honestly, like, I would just love, like, my grandkids or, you know, when I'm 180 or whatever you said I was going to be, to just be like, I just love going to golf. Like, that's my happy place. I love being there with my mates. I love just messing around, being creative. I just love trying to get better. You know, I love the kind of, you know, the integrity and the discipline and the honesty that it teaches me. And because it has, like, golf has taught me some incredible life lessons and has obviously brought me to incredible people. Like, I owe golf so much. And that's kind of, you know, whether they become professional or they just do it recreationally, like, I just want them to just enjoy golf. I just want them to think it's just a fun place to be. That's basically what I would love.
I love that. That's a great answer and a wonderful way to finish our chat. Mel, thank you. We could go on talking to you forever and ranting forever. but it's just so refreshing, I think. And I know I can say this on behalf of Hallie, to have an honest conversation, honest and open conversation, a real conversation with an incredible athlete such as yourself, who's such a wonderful role model. So thank you so much for your time and for joining us.
No, and thank you. And like, you guys doing this podcast is important, you know, and I just want to just reiterate that, you know, it doesn't go unnoticed between us. And yeah, we appreciate you guys a lot. So thank you so much for what you guys are doing in the golf industry as well.
Thanks, Mel.
Thanks, Mel. All right. Enjoy the rest of your day. Tell Carly you say hi. And everybody else listening, make sure that you're following Mel on social, but also her very hilarious wife, Carly, who is
she's way funnier than me. She's way more worth a follow than I am. So but yeah, it's getting to her head a little bit. So just be careful. Not too many followers, getting to her head a little bit.
I love it. All right. Thanks, Mel. Talk to you
awesome.
Soon.
Thank you guys.
Mel. Henny, it's so refreshing to speak with a professional, I would say professional athlete, but I'm just going to say professional golfer because there are a lot of professional athletes that are outspoken, but professional golfer that is willing to put her neck out and take the, you know, negative repercussions of speaking her mind, because she knows how important it is to speak out, one, you know, for representation in terms of the LBGTQ plus community, and as well as the important issues of Roe versus Wade, Black Lives Matter, these progressive issues that, you know, need to be spoken about that aren't necessarily spoken about that often in the golf community. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, can lead to some, you know, some negative repercussions. But it's just so refreshing to speak with Mel and for her to say it's worth it. And I know that this is the way that I'm going to give back and the way that I'm going to grow the game.
Yeah. And I think you said it spot on that by saying golfer instead of athlete, because the golf community predominantly isn't progressive. And so that makes it even more impressive that a player like Mel steps up and says, hey, this is me, this is who I am, and I want to inspire other people who think and feel just like me. It's just always such a pleasure to speak to someone who's honest and truthful. And I think when we talk about interviewing any athlete, that's all you want, right? You want a real honest conversation, and you know with Mel that you're always going to get that. So yeah, as I said at the start of this episode, I just hope that you will get as much from that conversation as we did. I know, honestly, I'm not just saying this, like, I leave this conversation and this episode feeling inspired myself, and I'm sure you feel the same way, Hallie.
100%, Henny. And I think that, you know, you and I both have a boss named Stina Sternberg, who's incredibly outspoken on social media. And she was kind of like the first woman that I ever saw that sort of put her neck out and said, you know, this is how I feel. I'm pretty, have a pretty progressive stance on this issue. And I'm not going to let the fact that I work in a primarily conservative space deter me from sharing my opinions. And so I think that kind of going back to the idea that there are powers in numbers, seeing Mel put out that statement with multiple of her fellow LPGA players, the more that we can create a safe space for people to share their thoughts and feelings and opinions, the better, the better that golf is going to be, and the better, you know, the more welcoming it's going to look. And I just can't thank Mel or Stina enough, for that matter, or yourself or whoever else that is willing to sort of take that initial hit, as we all kind of, I kind of feel like we all have little hammers in our hands and we're trying to break down this like big brick wall. So if we can get more people with our little hammers just tap, tap, tapping away, then eventually we're going to, you know, break it down. But we need a lot of people with a lot of little hammers. I don't really know why that's my visual of choice, but
I enjoy that. It's funny because my little visual of choice was like a little fish just like swimming away from the pack, because the general pack in golf is very conservative and all thinks one way, and we're these little fish that just pop up and we're like, not me, nope, I don't think that, nope. Which I think is why it's even more I think impressive that players like Mel, like yourself, speak out, because you, like, you know you're gonna get a hit. Even finishing this episode, I'm like, we are going to get backlash here. I can't even imagine the comments.
Bring it on, baby.
Bring it on.
Cut to me crying in my bed.
Cut to me like a demon with a glass of wine over the block button.
Yeah.
I go on these block rampages. I love it.
Exactly. And listen, that's not to say if you have opposite views of us, go off, like, say, you know, say what you want to say, and I respect your opinion. But I think, and that's why it's so funny, like when we mentioned the Max Homa thing, and people are like, somebody said to me, would he be your favorite player if he was also sharing his if he had opposite views? And I'm like, listen, Max Homa having, like, would not be if Max Homa had incredibly conservative views and was sharing that, he would not be an outlier in this case. That's the whole
right. Point, I think that's here. The point is, you know, the, like I I'm said, the like, swimming upstream.
I'm not telling people that have a very conservative point of view, they can't share their views. I'm just saying there are not a lot of progressive people in golf that share their views. So that's what I'm, it just needs to be a welcoming place for all views, and people need to feel comfortable to share that.
I think a lot of the point is like each side probably feels like, oh, this is good versus evil. Like, how can you possibly think that way? And like I sort of ranted in the podcast, like, just live and let live.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to have an opinion on how I live my life, right, or Mel, or you, or anyone. Like,
yeah.
I think that's, you know, we're all a lot more similar than we think. And ultimately, we all want to fit in. We all want to feel happy and at peace. And as you said, part of a community. And so, yeah, there's going to be differing opinions in that. But if everybody's shouting one thing and you feel like scared or unable to be yourself, then I think it is very important to have role models that put their hand up and stand out from that big crowd and say, hi, I think just how you think. So that's okay. And then that person's like, oh, okay, cool.
Thank God.
I think that's what it was. Yeah, thank goodness. I can continue in this arena or community and know that there is at least one other like-minded person there. And I think that's sort of what it's about.
Exactly.
But I know, similarly to what I said to Mel at the end of the interview, we could just go on talking about a lot of this forever. So we don't want this to turn into a 2-hour episode for your. So we will say goodbye for now. We'll see you again in another. We'll speak to you again in another couple of weeks. Until then, though, feel free to let us know your thoughts, or don't.
All right, see you guys in a few weeks.